The Fisherman and His Soul. Dedicated to Her Serene Highness Alice, Princess of Monaco. The Fisherman and His Soul. Every evening the young fisherman went out upon the sea and threw his nets into the water. When the wind blew from the land, he caught nothing, or but little at best, for it was a bitter and black-winged wind, and rough waves rose up to meet it. But when the wind blew to the shore, the fish came in from the deep and swam into the meshes of his nets, and he took them to the marketplace and sold them. Every evening he went out upon the sea, and one evening the net was so heavy that hardly could he draw it into the boat. And he laughed and said to himself, "Surely I've caught all the fish that swim, or snared some dull monster that will be a marvel to men, or something of horror that the great queen will desire." And putting forth all his strength, he tugged at the coarse ropes till, like lines of blue enamel round a vase of bronze, the long veins rose up in his arms. He tugged at the thin ropes, and nearer came the circle of flat corks, and the net rose at last to the top of the water. But no fish at all was in it, nor any monster or thing of horror, but only a little mermaid lying fast asleep. Her hair was as a wet fleece of gold, and each separate hair as a thread of fine gold in a cup of glass. Her body was as white ivory, and her tail was of silver and pearl. Silver and pearl were her tail, and the green weeds of the sea coiled round it. And like seashells were her ears, and her lips were like sea coral. The cold waves dashed over her cold breasts, and the salt glistened upon her eyelids. So beautiful was she, that when the young fisherman saw her, he was filled with wonder, and he put out his hand and drew the net close to him, and leaning over the side, he clasped her in his arms. And when he touched her, she gave a cry like a startled seagull, and woke, and looked at him in terror with her mauve amethyst eyes, and struggled that she might escape. But he held her tightly to him, and would not suffer her to depart. And when she saw that she could in no way escape from him, she began to weep, and said, "I pray thee, let me go, for I am the only daughter of a king, and my father is aged and alone." But the young fisherman answered, "I will not let thee go, save thou makest me a promise, that whenever I call thee, thou wilt come and sing to me, for the fish delight to listen to the song of the sea folk, and so shall my nets be full."
"Wilt thou, in very truth, let me go, if I promise thee this?" cried the mermaid.
"In very truth, I will let thee go," said the young fisherman. So she made him the promise he desired, and swore it by the oath of the sea folk. And he loosened his arms from about her, and she sank down into the water, trembling with a strange fear. Every evening the young fisherman went out upon the sea, and called to the mermaid, and she rose out of the water and sang to him. Round and round her swam the dolphins, and the wild gulls wheeled above her head. And she sang a marvellous song, for she sang of the sea folk who drive their flocks from cave to cave, and carry the little calves on their shoulders, of the tritons who have long green beards and hairy breasts, and blow through twisted conches when the king passes by, of the palace of the king, which is all of amber, with a roof of clear emerald and a pavement of bright pearl, and of the gardens of the sea, where the great filigrane fans of coral wave all day long, and the fish dart about like silver birds, and the anemones cling to the rocks, and the pinks burgeon in the ribbed yellow sand. She sang of the big whales that come down from the North Seas and have sharp icicles hanging to their fins, of the sirens who tell of such wonderful things that the merchants have to stop their ears with wax, lest they should hear them, and leap into the water and be drowned, of the sunken galleys with their tall masts, and the frozen sailors clinging to the rigging, and the mackerel swimming in and out of the open portholes, of the little barnacles who are great travellers and cling to the keels of the ships and go round and round the world, and of the cuttlefish who live in the sides of the cliffs and stretch out their long black arms and can make night come when they will it. She sang of the nautilus, who has a boat of her own that is carved out of an opal and steered with a silken sail. Of the happy mermen who play upon harps and can charm the great kraken to sleep. Of the little children who catch hold of the slippery porpoises and ride laughing upon their backs. Of the mermaids who lie in the white foam and hold out their arms to the mariners. And of the sea lions with their curved tusks and the sea horses with their floating manes. And as she sang, all the tunny fish came in from the deep to listen to her, and the young fisherman threw his nets round them and caught them, and others he took with a spear. And when his boat was well laden, the mermaid would sink down into the sea, smiling at him. Yet would she never come near him that he might touch her. Oftentimes he called to her and prayed of her, but she would not. And when he sought to seize her, she dived into the water as a seal might dive. Nor did he see her again that day. And each day the sound of her voice became sweeter to his ears. So sweet was her voice that he forgot his nets and his cunning, and had no care of his craft. Vermilion-finned, and with eyes of bossy gold, the tunnies went by in shoals, but he heeded them not. His spear lay by his side, unused, and his baskets of plated osier were empty. With lips parted and eyes dim with wonder, he sat idle in his boat and listened, listening till the sea mists crept round him, and the wandering moon stained his brown limbs with silver. And one evening he called to her and said, "Little mermaid, little mermaid, I love thee. Take me for thy bridegroom, for I love thee." But the mermaid shook her head. "Thou hast a human soul," she answered. "If only thou wouldst send away thy soul, then could I love thee." And the young fisherman said of it himself, "Of what use is my soul to me? I cannot see it, I may not touch it, I do not know it. Surely I will send it away from me, and much gladness shall be mine." And a cry of joy broke from his lips, and standing up in the painted boat, he held out his arms to the mermaid. "I will send my soul away," he cried, "and you shall be my bride, and I will be thy bridegroom, and in the depth of the sea we will dwell together. And all that thou hast sung of thou shalt show me, and all that thou desirest I will do, nor shall our lives be divided." And the little mermaid laughed for pleasure and hid her face in her hands. "But how shall I send my soul from me?" cried the young fisherman. "Tell me how I may do it, and lo, it shall be done."
"Alas, I know not," said the little mermaid. "The sea folk have no souls."
And she sank down into the deep, looking wistfully at him. Now, early on the next morning, before the sun was the span of a man's hand above the hill, the young fisherman went to the house of the priest and knocked three times at the door. The novice looked out through the wicket, and when he saw who it was, he drew back the latch and said to him, "Enter."